Well, talk about the, you've done, I don't know how many experiments are inside this book and how many you've personally done, but what do you think has been the most impactful one for you, or just has really, amazed you with what's happened?
The most personally impactful, I would say, was actually the swimming. I was unable to swim more than a lap or two in a pool until roughly a year ago. This is very recent, a year, year and a half ago. And I was born premature. I can only use a portion of my left lung. I have no buoyancy. And it was always one of my biggest humiliations and embarrassments. I went to the beach with friends, and everybody would be out swimming around, playing around. I couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. And let's swim out to the buoy. Sorry, man, no way. Let's sit down on the beach. It was always really one of my deepest insecurities. And sure. I assumed that it was done. I assumed there's nothing to be done about it because I tried to take lessons. I tried to fix it. And the first thing people would do is they'd say, here's a kickboard. Go kick and do four laps. And I would kick, and I wouldn't even move. And I'd do that for about 10 minutes and say, look, dude, sorry, I'm done. I can't do this. It's too humiliating. And that
I would never have laughed at you.
Well,
I would have laughed my ass at you. I would have made you feel really bad about it.
So, yeah, I mean, understandably, it looks ridiculous. And in the span of 1 week, with a couple of tips from an Ironman triathlete and then being introduced to a very unusual type of swimming, or uncommon way of swimming, I was able to go from 2 laps in a pool to comfortably doing 40 laps in the span of about 10 days. And it was all from rethinking all of my assumptions about swimming. Like the idea that you have to kick harder to swim, no. This method, which is based on Kerry Laughlin's work, is using absolutely, almost practically, no kicking, and it focuses on rotating a streamlined left, streamlined right positioning. It's the closest thing to moving meditation I've ever experienced, and my speed is improved. Everything's improved. So now I can go to the ocean. I can do an open water 1 mile swim, no problem, as a way to relax, which is inconceivable to me. Even now, I can't believe that it was that simple once I tested the assumptions. And for me, overcoming an insecurity of 20 plus years is part of the reason that I really knew this book had to be written, because I'd overcome so many limitations in work, and for whatever reason, I just hadn't applied all of that same work, all of those same principles, I hadn't applied it to the physical body. And so I was like, okay, I'm like working 4 hours a week. Sure, I can do that. No problem. I was like, swimming in a pool for 5 laps? You're crazy. That's ridiculous. And realizing that the same principles apply and I could do the same deconstruction is what triggered at least half of what's in the book. So I would say that was the most impactful for me.
Yeah, that's almost it's been a bit of a pattern, I think, with you, is you take stuff from, not at face value, and you look at it a little bit differently. Like even the even that program that you did, I forget what it is, I think on the History Channel, where you were doing that crazy ass
horseback. Yabusame, right.
Right, which is just completely wild. And you just have a different take when you step back and look at stuff. And is it by, walk through a little bit of that thinking. Is it simply just saying, okay, well, if everyone is doing it this way, that means it's probably wrong? Or how do you approach something when you're trying to essentially hack it, I guess?
Yep, there are a couple of ways to approach it. And I think that this is something I've always been very curious, but I didn't have a method until pretty recently. And for this book, my method had to become much more refined than with the 4-hour work week. The way I approach things now is I look for the exceptions. I look for the people who are good at something that shouldn't be good at what they're good at. So to give you an example, I hate running. I hate it almost as much as I used to hate swimming. I really hate running. And so of course, I decide, well, I need to get over that, so I want to run an ultra marathon. You know, I want to run 50 miles just to punish myself for being so big headed. And
you need to go do Badwater, like one of my friends, Frankie City.
There's no way. Okay, for those of you who don't know what Badwater is, 135-mile race through Death Valley. I will pass on that one. Yeah, people routinely pass out and have to be put in ice baths, and oh, no thank you. If you don't run on the white stripes at Badwater, your shoes melt on the pavement. You don't want to do it. So 50 miles for me, for most people, pretty ambitious, especially if you've never run more than 5 miles in your life.
No, absolutely.
So what I looked for, where do I start? Where do I deconstruct that? So I will talk to the best people in the world, okay? And those people are probably going to be 6'2", 220 pounds. That's not an exaggeration. They are built for running. They're built for dissipating heat. And they have a lot to offer. Guys like Scott Jurek, amazing. I interviewed Scott for this. He's a 7-time Western States. It's a 100-mile race. He's like a 7-time consecutive winner of that race. But I also wanted to find people like one of the coaches I ended up finding, who was 190 pounds, about 5'11", ripped, could do squats with well over 300 pounds for reps, and trained, instead of the normal 30 hours a week, was training less than 6 hours a week and still running 100-mile races. So how does that work? I first try to find those exceptions, and it's pretty easy because I'll talk to someone like Scott, and I'll say, who doesn't fit the mold? Who are the people who look like linebackers who are running 100 miles? Because I want to talk to those guys too. It's very easy to figure out who they are because generally there aren't that many of them, and they're looked at like freaks of nature. And what you find is, yes, some of them are freaks of nature, and then other people have just figured something out. They have stumbled upon something that really works that no one else believes works. And from that point on, I'll talk to both sides, okay? So the people who are the best in the world, who are almost always going to be very well-designed for their sport, like Michael Phelps in swimming. But I'll ask them, okay, what are the most common beginner mistakes? Where do novices waste the most time? What is most commonly taught that you think is incorrect? Where do people plateau and why? What is something very counterintuitive that you've found to be most effective, whether it relates to diet, training, sleep, recovery, or something else? Who do you think I should talk to? Who else should I have coach me? And these are all the types of questions that I'll ask. And within 2 days of doing this, and you can do this online as well. Don't get me wrong. You don't always need access to the best in the world. You could go on a site like Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, and ask some of these questions and probably get very, very good responses that are quite accurate. And after 48 hours of doing this, you are so far ahead of most people who have been doing it in some cases for 5, 10, 15 years. It's almost unbelievable. Because rather than looking for what the most people are using, you're looking for the exceptions. You're looking for the oddities, and that's where you really find a lot of the breakthroughs.
Wow, that's that right there was really powerful because I didn't tell you at Covert Ops that the Maverick trip that you went on with us. I have this notion of doing skeleton in the 2014 Olympics.
Wow!
So that just that gave me a great little game plan to figure out where the weirdos and the freak shows are that are doing really well in the skeleton that could somehow propel me in there. So that's pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. And another recommendation would be don't seek out the people who are the best in the world right now because they are in the limelight. They're going to be busy. They'll certainly have a high opinion of themselves and rightfully so. But it means they'll be less responsive, and because they're still competing, there's a good chance they won't disclose the secret sauce.
Yeah.
Find someone who's no longer competing, who hopefully has done some coaching, so they figured out what's unique to them that they can't teach, and what's replicable, and you find those people. And a very easy way to do that, of course, would be to go to Wikipedia and search for your event, and then just determine who the top three or four people are in the last four or five Olympics, let's say, and find someone who's just limelight, probably missing the limelight, and would love a little bit of exposure, certainly in your particular case, because you can offer them a platform. And, man, you have somebody who's going to be very willing to make you a guinea pig to prove that what they know works. And that would be another recommendation.
That's pretty good. All right, one last one, and then I want to wrap up and give people a special offer here. One of the chapters you got is about living forever, which you know, gives me a little chuckle. But it's you know, one of those things where how familiar are you with Dan Sullivan?
I am familiar with Strategic Coach. I've spoken with him, but if we're talking about the same guy, maybe if you're in listening.
Yeah, same guy.
I don't know his position on this, though.
You know, one of the things Dan Sullivan's also a mentor of mine, and one of the things he talks about is extending the lifetime extender and extending your, you know, figuring out when everybody kind of knows when they're going to die, but extending out your lifetime and then with the things that you really want to do. But this is like scientific proven stuff on how we can actually extend our life. And you got any quick points on that? Because obviously, you know, everyone wants to keep it going as long as we're mentally sharp and physically fit and still enjoying what we're doing here.
Yeah, for sure. So the living forever is a bit of an inside joke, as indicated by the beginning of the chapter, because I think a lot of people make decisions based on extending their life without thinking about their quality of life. So you have people who look like concentration camp prisoners. This is no exaggeration, because they're subjecting themselves to extreme caloric restriction because they believe that will make them live until they're 120. Meanwhile, they're miserable, their hair is falling out, they have no testosterone or sex drive. And I view that as a Faustian bargain. I don't view that as a good investment. The things that you can do, and I've looked at this very closely, and a lot of people don't realize, I'm actually a faculty member at Singularity University, which was founded by Peter Diamandis, chairman of the X Prize, and Ray Kurzweil, who's very well-known, inventor, technologist, but well-known for his predictions related to life extension. And that's based at NASA Ames Research Center. And I've looked at this very, very closely. So a few things that people can do, I'll just blast off a couple of suggestions. The first is give blood regularly. These are whole blood donations. Don't have time to go into it hugely, but the directors of many of the centenarian studies, I think it's a proper word, people who live over 100 years of age, the people who research that group, give blood regularly. That is one of the core beliefs related to life extension. Okay, so giving blood regularly, this is also, I believe, one of the reasons that women tend to live longer than men, and that is that they menstruate. We won't go into a deep dive on that, but give blood regularly. Give blood regularly, meaning like every 3 to 4 months. Second thing would be protect your brain. Okay, so the regenerative medicine is amazing. I mean, I just came back from TEDMed, where they had a living set of lungs. These are pig lungs inside a chamber that they had breathing without an attached pig. Okay, the technology is such that you can currently print on a 3D printer portions of organs to be used in transplants. So what this means is, it doesn't mean go out and do tequila shots until your liver falls apart, but it does mean that your liver, your lungs, et cetera, if over time they degrade, you may be able to replace those or at least improve them, repair them in the next 20 years. I think that's actually very likely. The brain is not that easy. So you want to, the greatest extent possible, postpone or minimize anything like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease. One of the easiest ways to do that, really surprising, one of the easiest ways to do that is to supplement with creatine monohydrate, which is a sports supplement. It was designed for improving power output. And if you supplement with, let's say, 5 grams a day of creatine monohydrate, and which is nothing, it's just drop some white powder into some water and you're done. It's been shown as very promising treatment for all of the conditions that I just mentioned. And it also, as a side note, increases IQ in people who are strict vegetarians. Pretty amusing, because creatine is commonly found in meat products, red meat in particular. So you can be deficient in creatine. But that is extremely cheap. You can get a month's supply of creatine for $20, $20, $30. And giving blood doesn't cost you anything. That's free. And so there are a number of approaches like that that I think done intelligently could very easily, and I know this is a strong statement, but I think it could very easily extend your lifespan by 10% or so. And that's a meaningful 10%. So, and not only extend your lifespan, extend your functional lifespan, okay? And this is an important point. I don't want to live to be 190 sitting in a chair staring at a wall. I want to be walking around. I want to be active. I want to be hiking. I want to be very sharp cognitively. And to do that, you need to protect the brain. And addressing iron, buildup of iron, toxic byproducts of iron, things like that, are a part of that. So there's some very simple things that you can do that, based on the literature, based on the research, show very strong indications of extending lifespan. If you want to get super aggressive about it, there are other riskier things you could do. You could take immunosuppressant drugs like rapamycin, and there are people doing that. Do I recommend you do that? Absolutely not. It's very hard to predict what the long-term side effects are systemically of doing that. But I talk about all these, and I say, look, here are the risky but extreme approaches. Here are the approaches that I'm taking. And it just so happens that all the approaches I'm taking are very low-tech, very low-cost, and very low-risk. And so I opt for that group.
Great. All right. Well, the book again is called The 4-Hour Body, and it is available at wherever fine books are sold, or not so fine books. And I'm sure it's going to be pretty much everywhere at the bookstores, of course, online at your major booksellers. And it's just like I said, it's just this massive. A reference guide, and you can always flip to anywhere in here, and it's going to be something that's going to improve your life. It's 500 some pages of whatever you want to do with your life, whether it's lose pounds, whether it's gain muscle, whether it's how to increase your sleep, how to increase your productivity, how to triple your testosterone and double your sperm count if you're a guy, how to reverse permanent injuries, which is really fascinating. And you got a lot of stuff in here. You have a special deal that you're going to do for people that are listening to this, right?
I do indeed. So the book was longer than it now appears in print. For cost reasons, and we can talk about publishing another day over a few drinks, but for cost reasons, about 100 pages had to be cut from the book, which might be a good thing since it's big enough already. But many of those chapters are really interesting, including stuff like genetics testing. So how do you take a genetics test for $100, let's say, and figure out which supplements are actually going to work for you or which are a waste of money, which will have the most impact or the best worth your investment. That is something that I looked at quite closely and pretty directly sparked an article recently in Nature magazine, pretty cool, and that didn't make it in the book. Another chapter is about spot reduction. So is it possible to use topical creams to reduce fat, let's say, in hard-to-reduce areas, like the abdomen for men and women, and for the legs and thighs for women? Amazingly, I expected it to be a total myth, and there were one or two products that ended up working. So imagine that. That didn't make it into the book either. So there were a couple of examples like this, and if people would like to buy 3 copies of the book, so one for themselves, 2 for Christmas gifts or gifts to other people, gifts to clients, whatever, I'm happy to send them one of the lost chapters. I haven't figured out which one I'm going to send because I want to make sure it's the most actionable, concrete one of these chapters. But if people buy 3 copies on Amazon and then send an Amazon receipt for 3 books to yannick@4hourbody.com, just all spelled out, Y-A-N-I-K @4hourbody, F-O-U-R, 4hourbody.com, 4hourbody.com, then I'm happy to send them one of the lost chapters. And that's something that you're certainly not gonna find anywhere at this point, anywhere. So I thought that could be fun for people who are interested. And last but not least, if you're not in the financial position to get the book at all, I still have a sample chapter on 4hourbody.com and a pretty cool video trailer as well. And people can go to the blog from there and find a lot of free content to learn from if they'd like to get a taste of things as well.
Yeah, well, they should definitely go there and read the blogs. You got some amazing material there, but don't be cheapskates. Buy at least one copy of the book. If not multiple copies, your friends, your family, anyone you care about will thank you for it. It's I was talking it up today to the guys who are very high level entrepreneurs who we're all talking about the same stuff about how do we make ourselves better, and it's a constant conversation, and it's something that can have a tremendous impact. So it's a great book out there. I give it my endorsement for sure. I'd recommend you guys pick it up. It's one of those that you just flip through it anywhere and you're like, wow, that's really cool, and you just find some cool shit in there. All right, Tim, I appreciate it. I know you got to run. So thanks for spending the time with us here. So once again, just send out that buy three books, don't be a cheapskate, or buy more than three books from people you really care about, and just send a receipt to Yannick, Y-A-N-I-K, at 4hourbody.com. And my vote is for that supplement chapter. That sounds really intriguing.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. So I'm hoping to have one of the top geneticists in the senior scientists in the country add a little summary to the end of that. So it should be pretty hot. Easily the most important thing this ever written, in my opinion. So hopefully people will enjoy it. It's a pretty fun read, A Diary of a Madman. And thanks for having me, Yannick. Always fun.
Yeah, my pleasure.